At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Welcome to the Mile High Huddle podcast with your football priests, Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Remember, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Mile High Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Chad Jensen, and with me is my fellow football priest. You know him, you love him, Zach Kelberman. Zach, we got a lot of Broncos topics to get to, but as I'm talking to you now, I look up on the television screen in the office. I'm seeing Russ out there for the Steelers. He got the start. He's finally getting a chance to ply his wares, Zach, with his third NFL team. What's your outlook for Russ in against the Jets tonight?
If I was Mike Tomlin, I wouldn't have done that. Fields was 4-2 and looking much more of the dynamic quarterback, a lot like what we saw last season. I don't know what photos or videos Russ has on these coaches around the NFL, Chad, but he's going to have a bit of a leash with Mike Tomlin unless he gets hurt. I don't know that they're going to do well against that Jets defense, but we'll see what happens. Fortunately, like I say all the time, he's no longer our problem.
If they can run the ball, they being the Steelers, he'll probably be okay. But, you know, that's a big if. That's a good defense. We saw that a few weeks ago, but it'll be interesting to keep an eye on that as tonight's show goes on. To some Broncos matters, kind of interesting, Zach. Yes, last week, I should say, because I guess now we are, in fact, in next week. But last week, ahead of the Saints game, there were some rumors that start popping up. And it's more just kind of like NFL writers across the fruited plain who are going, oh, the trade deadline's popping up. Who are some lowly teams who could have some valuable players as sellers at the deadline? And Alvin Kamara of the New Orleans Saints was linked to the Broncos, not by way of someone reporting official interest, but by saying, hey, keep an eye on this, or hey, it wouldn't be a surprise if. And that happened even further since Thursday night, not, Zach, just by virtue of the loving embrace that Sean Payton and Kamara had at midfield after the game, but by virtue also of some things Kamara himself said at his locker after the game, which I'm happy to read here in a second, which I think in part anyway prompted Cody Benjamin of CBS Sports to once again link him to the Broncos. Would you want to see the Broncos lay out a little capital to bring in an Alvin Kamara ahead of the November 5th deadline?
I don't want to come off hypocritical because I've been pining for the Broncos to have some more weapons around Bo Nix. It is what Javonte are we going to see going forward? That would help answer that question. If he can play like he did against the Saints, Chad, then they don't need a Kamara and have to give up the draft picks, take on the contract. Remember, Javonte is also in a contract year. That was the beauty, is that he should be extra motivated. So if they have this sort of Javonte, they don't need a Kamara, though they would still, in my opinion, I would go out and get a tight end, whether it's Hunter Henry or Mark Andrews. Kyle Pitts had another good game today, probably won't be available. A running back, I'd say they can wait on. A tight end, though, I'd say they need now.
Indeed. We'll see what the chat has to say about this, guys. You guys want to see the Broncos lay out maybe a third round pick, maybe even more. I mean, he's almost 30, so it's not going to be, I don't think, a second round pick, but a third round pick. Would you want to see it, guys? Sound off in the chat. The Papa Bear, he's jumping in early. Love you, big dog. I just sent you an email, by the way, so check your email. He says, good evening on Super Chat, Broncos Country, Chad, Zach, and Deacon Scott. Hashtag God bless the USA. 10-7 plus. Let's go Broncos. MHH for life. Buckham times three. Broncos for life. And Knicks for six. I love it, dude. I love it. And got to tell you, we appreciate you so much, Papa Bear. Thank you, big dog.
Yes, sir. YouTube user 1999 Super. It's a new name. I don't know if that's the name verbatim as what's showing in the chat, but appreciate you, YouTube user. If you have a comment, question, concern, please let us know.
Thank you for the support. Means the world to us. Seriously, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for you guys. And it's easy for podcasters on a live stream to say that, but it's actually true in our case. You guys mean the world to us. So thank you. And as Zach mentioned, new name, but welcome to the manger, homie. Ted Wonderlick in the house. We know Ted, bona fide Super Chat superstar. We got to kick it with him last month and his old man. It was awesome. Says apparently Bo Nix already has as many career zero sack, zero interception games as Russ. That alone helps the team. Even if the flash isn't always there, the backbreakers aren't either. Hashtag MHH for life. Well, Ted, when you get 5 seconds, I want you to, if there's an article or like if you found that on Pro Football Reference or something, I want you to email me the link to that, okay? And I'll actually write a story about this. MileHighHuddle@gmail.com. But Zach, this is, if true, and I have no reason to doubt Ted, it's a glaring symbol of why Sean Payton was so eager to show the door to Russ and why he was so, in part anyways, enamored by Bo Nix.
Yeah, I made this point, I think it was like week 3 or week 4, but last season in 1 week alone, week 2, Russ took 7 sacks. And you can argue whether it's all on him or the O-line or whatever, but he still, those sacks were counted. And it drove Sean Payton up a wall. And you're right, that's the impetus for getting rid of Russell Wilson, drafting Bo Nix. I can't tell you how many times I've counted that Bo Nix has got himself out of trouble. Whether he caused it or whether it was caused to him, he finds a way to navigate the pocket. And Chad, you can't teach that. That might be his best quality so far after 7 games.
True. Zeus McPeak in the house, the first face, as we say, because it's true, etched in the MHH Super Chat Superstar Mount Rushmore. This legend right here, Stu McPeak, jumping in with a generous Super Chat, as is his way to say, hi, all. Go Broncos. Thank you, brother. We love you. Thank you. Appreciate all that you continue to do for MHH and all that you also contribute to the conversation week in and week out, big dog.
Yeah, thank you, Zeus, and I hope your Sunday was very pleasant and relaxing with the Broncos already playing and winning, and we move forward to Carolina in week 8.
We also have the Ronk checking in, our official mayor of the MHH community on Facebook, saying, good evening, Chad and Zach, on the Mile High Huddle podcast. Go, Bo Broncos. Yes, indeed. Look, you know, there's still some hand-wringing taking place, Zach, over Bo Nix not throwing for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns every game, but I'm reading the tea leaves. I can see which way the wind's blowing. It's not perfect. He's just scratching the surface, but all the harbingers, Zach, are pointing in a very, very encouraging direction for Bo Nix becoming, not saying that he is yet, but becoming that future franchise quarterback. And by the way, speaking of future guys, this was in a missed sense. Drew Lock. We got to see Drew Lock today very briefly with the New York Giants, who got blown out by the Eagles.
To your point, anyone who thought it would be perfect with Bo Nix, that's on them. That's their problem. That's not an indictment of Bo Nix. Even, you know, we always talk about the C.J. Stroud comparisons in year 1. C.J. Stroud looked like a rookie for stretches last season before he started to get it going. And again, I'm not saying he's going to be him, but he's a rookie quarterback. This is the life of a rookie in the NFL. There's ups and there's downs. But in my opinion, speaking for myself, I've seen more good than bad from Bo through 7 weeks.
By the way, going through the AFC West with the Broncos at 4-3, the Raiders lost today to the Rams 20-15, and then the Chiefs remain undefeated, vanquishing the Niners 28-18, while the Chargers are going to be playing tomorrow night. There's a Monday Night Football doubleheader, so Chargers, Cardinals, who are 2-4, Chargers are 3-2. Tomorrow night. So that's kind of your update on the AFC West. Pardon me, but I'm excited about Bo Nix. And again, if you think about this, hey, if you believe that he's not reached his potential yet, another way of saying that, Zach, is that he's scratching the surface. And if the Broncos at 4-3 and the good that we've seen from him is scratching the surface, you know, just barely, Ted illustrated one statistical distinction that separates, for example, Bo Nix and Russell Wilson. But if he's just scratching the surface now, as he continues to get the live bullet reps and he grows and he develops and he learns and all that stuff, man, it just gets me excited for what's to come in the future. And that future could be sooner than people realize.
And I don't think you want your rookie quarterback to peak so early. I don't think you want him to be a finished product. You want him to keep getting better as the weeks and the game goes on, and that's what he's done. Epic Gamer, $5 super, thank you so much. I think we should avoid a trade for Kamara. Yeah, it seems to be the consensus in the chat that better off rolling with the guys you have, keeping your capital, keeping your money, and not trading for a 30-year-old running back. It's not the greatest decision in the NFL. But, you know, Bo, he is getting better if you watch him. He doesn't have those 405 touchdown games. Those may come in the future, but most important, Chad, he's avoiding turnovers, avoiding negative plays, and getting the Broncos on the right side of the win column.
Exactly. By the way, here's what Kamara said at his locker. It wasn't anything about the Broncos. It was just kind of a general acknowledgement. You know, you want to use that phrase again, which way the wind blows. This is what he said, quote, "The reality of this business is when you start losing too much, everybody gets on the hot seat. Remember, the Saints have lost now 5 in a row. When the coaches leave, players leave, and that's something that I definitely understand and realize," close quote. Now, there, to my knowledge, has been no indication that the Saints are shopping him or actively looking to trade him. But, Zach, we still have 2 weeks of real time before the deadline, a little more than 2 weeks, and a lot can change between now and then. A guy like Dennis Allen, for example, could be handed his walking papers, even in the face of the reality that the Saints are snake bitten, right? I liked what Nick wrote, said about him today in his article about a Broncos mock draft wide receiver in the first round, shocker. But that the Broncos trucked the JV Saints team, right? Because it really is second and third string guys and dudes they're pulling off the practice squad, but still, it's not going to support. Dennis Allen is what he is. Like, I understand why they hired him to be the successor to Sean Payton because of his organizational roots and the cultural stability that could have brought in a perfect world to the Saints. And maybe it did in a sense, but he's proven what he is as an NFL head coach. And that is simply a guy that is in over his head. Good coordinator, not meant for being a head coach. And it would not surprise me, Zach, to see Dennis Allen fired at some point, either during the season or following the season. The Saints start over with a new regime. And if that's what happens, you know, oftentimes, Zach, they start blowing things up and they sell off the resources and start anew. I mean, we saw the Broncos do that in part this past offseason. So if Kamara becomes available, and again, he's 29, so he is approaching, Zach, the dreaded 30-year-old mark, right? But he's not one of these bell cows that's been getting 20 carries a game since he came into the league. Like, he's actually, believe it or not, I think many people might not realize this, he's never even rushed for 1,000 yards. He's produced well over that when you count his receiving and rushing. His career high is something like 940 rush yards the last year of the Breeze regime. But anyway, my point being, yeah, he's almost 30, Zach, but he's a young 30.
And about Dennis Allen, like many such cases with that, Wade Phillips being one, some guys are in VJ, some guys are better as number twos. I think it's inevitable that Dennis Allen gets fired. From what I read, a lot of Saints fans wanted him fired after last season, so it's only a matter of time. It's a sinking ship, and the rats are going to jump off. I'm not calling Kamara a rat, but if there's one player from that offense that I would take, it's Chris Olave, the receiver that missed game with a concussion. They need another weapon that can create separation for Bo Nix, and not a 30-year-old running back when you have a guy in a contract year in Pookie.
So, good points. I'm going to grab the second super chat from Michaela before I grab her first one, because it's on the same thread here. She says, and thank you, Michaela, we love you. Another Mount Rushmore super chat superstar who brings so much to our lives and our community. You know, we got big love for Michaela Parker, the Duchess of MHH, who says, "Rumors are that Kamara, during the embrace with Sean, that midfield, said, 'Coach, come get me.'" Well, if that's true, you know, if Mickey Loomis decides to test the waters, you can count, Zach, that the Broncos will be the first team he calls to see if there'd be any interest. But I can't imagine that Sean Payton, if given the opportunity to get Kamara in Denver, that he wouldn't even be willing to pay a little bit above perhaps market value to get one of his guys trusted. Doesn't have to wonder, doesn't have to question, doesn't have to hope for this, that, or the other. Kind of plug and play. And if you look at his contract, he's got a couple of void years on it, but Broncos basically would have him for the foreseeable future.
My only concern, I mean, is what you would pay for Kamara. You mentioned a third round pick or maybe higher. I just don't know, Chad. Fourth and above, yeah. I'd maybe take the flyer. Third would be a little too rich for my blood. And I have to wonder if the ownership group would sign off on that, who Sean Payton reports to after giving up draft picks in the Russell Wilson deal, giving up draft picks for Sean Payton, trading up for players like Marvin Mims, who hasn't exactly produced in the NFL. I don't see it happening, Michaela, but thank you so much, as Chad said, for your support as always.
So just real quick, here's what I'll say, a quick caveat. All right, so there are officially two games left. One of them's against the Ravens. So if the Broncos, and then we're going to grab this first super chat from Michaela, but if the Broncos are, let's say they're 5-4 at the deadline because they beat the Panthers, and let's just say for the sake of argument, they lost to the Ravens, which – I'll remind everybody that Ravens game is on the road. I still see them as being in kind of a buyer's mindset, meaning they see opportunity to make some hay this season and snap this playoffless streak. I could see them making a move. But if they, for example, take one on the chin and, you know, trap game and Carolina comes in and gets a win, then they go on the road and get trucked by Baltimore. They end up at, you know, whatever it is, 4-5, then they'll probably just hold on to their draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, Michaela, I don't want to keep her waiting here. 49.99, okay. Super. Thank you so, so much, Michaela. You are the foundational member, as always, of the podcast. She goes, I keep on hearing people comparing Bo to Tim Tebow. D-Mac called him Tebow 2.0. Honestly, I'm wondering two thoughts. Listen, Michaela, as always, I'd like to caution you that people like D-Mac say these things for a reason, and this is the reason to get us talking about it. It's his opinion. He can say what he wants, whether he's being genuine or not. I don't see Tim Tebow. I see a rookie quarterback going through the rookie struggles in the NFL. He had a bad miss against the Saints. I get that. He's the deep ball passing accuracy has been a concern, whatever. I just personally don't see Tim Tebow. If D-Mac sees that, it's on him.
There are some similarities, obviously, in Bo Nix and Tim Tebow. But it honestly, the similarities I see between those two quarterbacks are that Bo's propensity as a physical runner is a lot higher than people gave him credit for. And, you know, if you paid any attention to what he did at Auburn, it shouldn't be that big of a shocker, but still, he is a guy that can give you a lot of that stuff. You could actually run some quarterback powers like the Broncos used to do with Tim Tebow with Bo Nix, but you'd want to be careful not to overdo that, because the one thing Bo Nix has leaps and bounds above Tebow is a passing acumen. He's a much more proficient, polished passer. His thing right now is he's still acclimating to the speed of the game. And Zach, while he's trying to keep his technique and his all that on point, but when I say speed of the game, when most people hear that, they think, oh, how fast players are flying around the field. And that's part of what I mean. But I'm also talking about just how quick the whole thing is moving while you, as a young player, still in a very new situation, are processing information and making split-second decisions. Your synapses are firing. The call comes in, you're spitting it out, you're at the line of scrimmage, you know, you're making your protections, you're checking your reads, then you're dropping back, boom, then you're following through. All that stuff, it takes a little bit of time for that process as an entire kind of enchilada to slow down. And when that happens for Bo Nix, and mark my words, it will happen, I'm confident in that, not just Zach because of who he is, who I believe that he is, but because of the coaching support around him, these comparisons will go by the wayside. But in the short term, you're going to see, Zach, more and more people comparing it to Tebow because it's the low-hanging fruit, and the Broncos are clearly happy to be a team that rushes for 225 yards, scores 30 on you, and the quarterback didn't throw a touchdown pass. Like, it results in a win. Sean Payton's going to keep doing that till the cows come home.
But nobody's complaining when you beat the Steelers in the playoffs in overtime because the quarterback threw to Demaryius Thomas. I mean, I don't really care how they get it done as long as they win games. And again, this is just us speaking. I mean, Tim Tebow was always a gimmicky kind of quarterback. Even in Florida, even in the NFL, you always felt that it was manufactured. I don't see a gimmicky or manufactured quarterback with Bo Nix. I see a rookie. He has some footwork issues. He's missed fire on some passes, but he's going to put it all together. And when he does, it'll be idiotic to even think we even thought about comparing him to Tim Tebow.
Love you, Michaela. And I could sit and talk about Tebow all night long, to be honest with you. I'm still a Tebow fan. I loved what he did despite his, you know, his limitations. I'll always wonder, a part of me, I'd never trade it, but there's that part of me that, unlike I would trade it, like the part of me that wonders, hey, what would have happened if Shanahan doesn't draft Jay Cutler in the first round of 2006 on the heels of the AFC title game and just continues to roll for the next two or three years, pardon me, with Jake Plummer. I'll always wonder. I would actually go back in time and trade for that if I could. I wouldn't trade wondering what it would have been like if the Broncos decide to stick with Tim Tebow and keep out of the Peyton Manning sweepstakes. I'm happy that that was a stroke of fortune that was just, the odds of that happening were so slim, and it happened, and it was just a wonderful 4 years. But I love talking about Tim Tebow. He was a lot of fun. Phil, love you, big dog. Down in Tucson, it says, good evening, Chad, Zach, and Deacon Scott. Really impressed with Nick Bonito's progress. No, he says, Zach, on Kamara. And then Will Lutz, the kicker, also a big plus for us. Hashtag Buckham, MHH for life, Broncos for life. So we've plowed the ground on the Kamara subject. Let's talk about Nick Bonito, who, what is it, five straight? Is it five or four straight that he's got a sack? But either way, he's still not quite where you would need him to be as far as physicality and technique as a run defender, but better. He has taken steps there, and he's producing sacks for you. And Lutz, yes, he's been a very reliable resource.
Very smart by the Broncos last season to hire Jamar Cain. It was 2022. In recent years, to hire Nick Bonito's pass rush coach at LSU and get the most out of him. And he's been about what I thought he would be as a DPR. Although after watching Baron Browning whiff on a sack and then Nick Bonito actually clean one up, I kind of lean toward him starting and holding down that role. But you can't have enough pass rushers, and you combine them with also Jonah Ellis's development this season. You got something cooking in that front seven.
Yeah, I mean, Eric wrote about this. The Broncos have two trade pieces on defense they could plausibly look to move. Doesn't mean that they will. One of them is Baron Browning. The other one remains DJ Jones, because you're getting that production behind him. Malcolm Roach has outplayed him. You got a couple of younger guys that could use some more playing time. But Baron Browning, unfortunately, you know, the caveat with him going into this season, Zach, was can he stay healthy? The idea was if he could, he's a guy that could give you double-digit sacks. But now I'm starting to wonder about that, only in the sense that I don't think he's a guy that can ever really stay healthy. Like, they just brought him back, Zach, off a four-week stay on IR. If I had to bet money on it right now, like if you said, hey, you can make $1,000 betting, or you could lose it, but whatever, bet if Baron Browning finishes the season healthy, I would bet against that. I don't expect it to happen. So if you could get anything for him, rock and roll. James Moss, what up, brother? Good to see you tonight. Thank you for the super chat, big dog. Means the world to us. He says, what do you guys think we need more? What, running back or wide receiver? What do you think, Zach?
Baron Browning reminds me a lot of Shane Ray, just to put a bow on that. He's a talented guy on the field, just can never stay on the field. James, I think tight end above both of these positions is the Broncos' biggest priority. Of these two positions, though, I'm taking a receiver, someone that can create separation and create space in the middle of the field. Someone like Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I know there's no chance the Broncos get him, but you put him in this offense with possession receivers like Vele and Sutton, and Sean Payton can do a lot. So I say receiver.
Broncos still don't have a great track record switching players' positions from college to NFL. Browning is a little bit of a caveat, though, because he did play all over the place at Ohio State. But, you know, I'll just throw this out there. Maybe I'm showing you kind of where my mind's at on this, but what's more important, running back, wide receiver? Alvin Kamara, he can give you both. You know, he's not a wide receiver. You're not going to be running or lining him, splitting him out wide per se on the reg, but he brings a redonkulous, Zach, an absolutely redonkulous amount of receiving chops. Like just this year, just this season, for example, Alvin Kamara, let's see, 34 receptions for 242 yards, okay? Do you know how many Broncos players have 30 receptions this year? Let's take a look real fast. Receptions, none. None. You know who's the leading receiver from a receptions point of view right now? It is a running back. Javonte Williams, followed by Cortland Sutton. He's got 23 Williams, followed by Sutton at 21. Lil Jordan Humphrey, 15. Vele, 13. McLaughlin, 12. Franklin, 12. Josh Reynolds 12. So if you want a little bit higher volume passing attack that can give you some bang for your buck, that's one way possibly to get there. D-Dub, brother, love you.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed our conversation the other day. Stoked for what you've got in store for the world, my friend. Said yesterday with this defense, like Brady and the Pats early years, possession game, ball security, no sacks, and Russ and Legion of Boom. Nick's next level escapability and speed in the run game will allow us to compete with anyone. Excellent points. Excellent points. Much love, my friend. What do you think? Do you see the comparison there?
Well, what Brady had for a lot of his run, what Russ had in Seattle with Marshawn Lynch, a dominant running game. It takes so much pressure off of the quarterback. And when you combine that with a swarming defense, and then you put the quarterback as the cherry on top to make the throws you need to make the runs you need to make, to get the ball in the end zone, you have a playoff team there. That's the formula anyway for a playoff team, Dale. It's a little premature to say the Broncos will be, but if they play like we saw on Thursday night, Dale, there is no one stopping them from grabbing a wild card spot or, well, I'm not going to say the division, but wild card.
Well, and that's the thing is Russ, you know, in his prime in Seattle, he was really stubborn with that ball, dude. Like, not to say he never turned it over, because never is an absolute, but he would get sacked on the reg. That was just, that's always been part of his game. But the turnover thing, that was something that really developed the second half of his career. Whereas Nick's, he's showing that same kind of just, I like the word you used here, the escapability. So that avoids potential negative plays, Zach, whether it's sacks, lost yardage of any sort, and turnovers. And he's protecting the ball. I mean, that's one of the reasons why, too, Zach, when we were there watching against the Steelers, it was such a shock to see him throw that pick that he threw in the interception or in the end zone, because you're going, wait a minute, this doesn't add up. This is not the Bo Nix that we think we know up to this point, but that is going to develop. That's just who he is. And that'll always be there, I believe, for Bo Nix, that I don't turn the ball over and you're not going to sack me thing is part of it. So if you can continue to build on your creativity with the run game, utilizing him like some actual RPOs and some actual QB design runs like we saw on Thursday night, and develop obviously his footwork and get him just getting things to slow down for him, man, you've got a defense that stops anybody. Like, I'm actually really intrigued to see what this defense looks like against the Ravens and then what they look like against the Chiefs, for example. No matter how well or not Bo Nix is doing, Zach, this defense is going to give the Broncos a chance in both of those games.
The thing to love about Bo, though, is not only does he get out of trouble or avoid trouble, he's picking up chunk gains on the ground while he's doing so, Chad. I mean, to wriggle away and pick up 25, 30 yards, that flips the field position on one play. That's the spark the offense could need to get a touchdown, and a touchdown could be the difference in a win or a loss. So it's not like the pocket presence of a Manning or Brady where they'd feel it and just go down to avoid a hit. Bo Nix feels it and then gets away, uses his legs, his dual threat ability, and creates yards on the ground. So there's a lot to like about him, Chad. That's why the Tim Tebow comparisons and the poo-pooing, I can't get behind.
This is an interesting stat from Mr. Producer. So Tom Brady's 6 Super Bowls with the Patriots, okay? New England ranked in points allowed, right, as a team. This is from the most recent back. So 5, they ranked 5th in points allowed. 1, number 1. 8th, number 2. Number 1, number 6. And then in Tampa that year, he won. The Bucs ranked 8th. So in every case that Tom Brady is, every year that he's actually won a Super Bowl, Zach, his defense was ranked in the top 10 in scoring. That tells you a lot right there. That's not to take anything away from Brady's greatness, because we all know, unfortunately, as much as we hate to say it, he's the GOAT. You can't take 7 rings, dude. I mean, you just kind of have to swallow your pride and acknowledge it. Not in our hearts, obviously. We all know who the GOAT is in our hearts. It's this cat right here, John Elway, number 7. But still, that is a glaring statistic.
It is. We have Taylor, $4.99 super. Thank you, Taylor, making your presence felt as always. Hey, guys, we need a trade for a tight end, not a running back. Also, what do you think of Hackett being demoted, LOL? Also, what do you think we should bench PS2 this week? I'll tackle the PS2 question. I think you're saying, like, give him another week to recover. You don't need him against Carolina. That might be true. I mean, Carolina's best receiver is Xavier Leggett, a receiver. You should be able to win this game without PS2. So we'll see how he feels, but you don't want him to be on the bench too long and start to let that rust accumulate. You want to get him on the field and keep him in that deep hoy, that momentum he was in. About Hackett being demoted, we probably covered it last week. That's a result of the firing, and you can't hide it any longer how bad of a coordinator Nathaniel Hackett is. And if he doesn't cut it in New York with Aaron Rodgers, he won't cut it anywhere else. And Taylor already told you, I think a trade for a tight end, in my opinion, should be the biggest priority.
We've learned that he was camouflaged significantly in Green Bay, Zach Hackett, yeah, by not only Rodgers still playing in the late prime. And I mean, if you're winning MVPs, I'm sorry, you're a prime player. I'm going to say you're in your prime. But also LaFleur, the influence and oversight of LaFleur, left to his own devices. We saw what happened without either of those guys. We saw what happened in Denver. We saw what happened in New York last year. And then this year, you know, he's got Aaron back. Aaron's managed to stay on the field and nothing doing. So yeah, he's best. Look, your best thing with, because he is a guy that people love. Like, his players do love him as a dude. And you could see why. He's probably a lot of fun and, you know, relatable and all that stuff. Make him your quarterback's coach if you're going to hire him. Don't put him in charge of designing squat. D-Dub jumping in again. Love you, brother.
Thank you.
Says, that's the cherry on top for sure, Zach. A hard-nosed run game would make this team a team to be feared. I think Peyton and the coaches know this. A good tight end or a large receiver with escapability like Demaryius Thomas or Brandon Marshall would make us wow. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, both those players were big-bodied guys that made huge, huge explosive plays, but in different ways. Brandon Marshall was a go-up-and-get-it possession guy, slant god. You know, he was one of those type of guys. He could do a lot for you, but DT could do all that stuff. Out jump everybody and take a screen 80 yards to the house. That twitch, that explosiveness when he was able to turn on the jets. Oh my goodness! And it wasn't just vertical catching deep passes. Everybody remembers the screens with Peyton Manning once they got that going with DT. I mean, I remember one against the Steelers. I remember one against the Ravens. Just huge. But Broncos don't have one of those guys right now. And I'm not sure you're going to find one of those guys being dangled on the trade block this particular. I mean, that I'm aware of. We know some of the names that have been floated. I posted an article, I think it was Friday, about a kind of an update. You guys go find that if you want to read it. Some of the receiver names that are floating around out there. If anything, it's like finding some way to get better production out of the tight end, Zach, whether that's, you know, elevating – continuing to elevate and get more out of Lucas Kroll. Troutman is what he is. You've already seen his ceiling. Dulcich, they're tapping out on that. Is it three straight healthy scratches? So maybe you look around and see what you can find at tight end, but these are things that probably you can't fully, Zach, resolve until you get a couple of off seasons under your belt.
Well, you had Tim Patrick and you chose to cut him to keep little Jordan Humphrey around for game one, not necessarily on the 53, but that's a whole other story. A tight end, you're right, you're not going to find, like, they need a, if you, for that aspect, you want like a T. Higgins who would just dominate in this offense with Sean Payton. You're not going to find him. Who you are going to find is a decent tight end like a Hunter Henry, Evan Engram, just someone who has a higher ceiling than a Troutman, which is everyone, and also a decently high floor, just to help out in the seams, help out the middle of the field, and give Bo Nix the security blanket he desperately deserves.
Eric Flynn, what's up, big dog? Great to see you on Facebook, my friend. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for the support. Always great to see you, my friend. But we are at about 32, 33 minutes. We're doing pretty good, but we'll call this like the 2-minute warning. So any burning topics, questions, supers, get them in the chat. We'll get to them before we dip. Like Tarek here jumping in, is it Tariq? You have to let us know. Is it one or two? One is Tarek, two is Tariq. I'm definitely excited where this offense is going, but are the Broncos close to putting up enough points to beat the big boys like Baltimore and KC? It's going to let us all know where this team is in AFC hierarchy. Well, I mean, never say never, and I'll touch wood, because that Miami game is still fresh in my mind as a possibility of what the floor could look like. But, I mean, if you look at what Vance Joseph did against the Chiefs last year in his two matchups with them, I'm not talking about his four matchups with them as head coach, just as coordinator. In both instances, the Chiefs were held well below their average in scoring, and especially in the victory the Broncos had. But you're not wrong, my friend, in that with those teams, you can only limit them. You're not going to stop them. So you have to be able to score. And it's no coincidence, Zach, that in the game the Broncos finally managed to snap the streak against the Chiefs, they had their cake and were able to eat it too. They limited them in scoring, and they were able to score enough points themselves, like well into the 20s. That's a key.
With Baltimore, Tariq, I think you're right here. They have too many weapons with Lamar, Derrick Henry playing fantastic this season, Zay Flowers, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely. They're going to get points. You're not going to win that game 10-9. Kansas City, however, you already beat them once last year, by the way, with Russell Wilson. This season, again, Mahomes isn't playing like the old Mahomes. They're winning on the strength of their defense. You don't necessarily have to worry about Mahomes scoring 40 points. He has no one to get the ball to. Juju got hurt today. Rashee Rice is gone for the year. He has just Travis Kelce and no real running game to speak of. So if you play good defense in that game, it could get ugly, and you want those type of games to get ugly. You want to drag – if you're the Broncos, you want to drag them down to your level and beat you with experience, and that's make it an ugly, defensive-oriented, turnover-prone game, maybe like a 16-13 final. That could happen. Baltimore, though, Bo and the boys are going to have to show up and put some points on the board.
True that. True that. Thanks again, Big Dog. And clarify for us in the chat how to pronounce your name, my friend. Phil, thank you, Mr. Producer. Great watching Russ run around in another uniform. LOL. Well, at this point, and I know many thousands of people are going to be listening to this after the fact, but as it stands, 37 seconds left in the first quarter. Russ is 2 for 6, 19 yards. He's got one rush for 1 yard. I don't think that from what I've seen glancing up and down as we're talking here, Zach, that he's turned it over yet. No, he hasn't. But yeah, that's Russ. He's doing his thing.
Again, I mean, you have a quarterback who you brought in the same time as Russ, who can also run, who's younger and cheaper, who went 4-2, and you're going to pull him to play a 37-year-old. I don't know. Again, that's their problem. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, this is interesting from Mr. Producer on Mahomes. He says, saw stat today. Mahomes is the first QB since Peyton Manning in 2015 to lead his team to a 6-0 record with more picks than touchdowns. And then emphasizing KC's a defensive team right now. Yeah, that was just a weird season from Peyton, and the way he kind of went down with that plantar fascia, all those picks given up to the Chiefs in that particular game before he sat down for a while. But yeah, it's weird how the pendulum swings, man. It's weird. And yet the Chiefs continue to win. The mark of quality coach, mark of quality quarterback, and just overall team. But, you know, D-Dub, one thing I wanted to say on that subject of the type of receiver he was referencing, you know, a DT or a Marshall. And Tim Patrick, as much as I love him, he's not going to give you that twitch and that explosive threat. You know what I'm saying? That, and neither would Humphrey. We know that as well, that either of those guys would bring. How do you find one? I think that's why you're seeing, Zach, so many, you know, the mocksters, which is, it's their job to do, is constantly focus on the draft. And during this time of year, it's team needs and mock draft, team needs, mock draft. The Broncos are being mocked wide receivers almost perfectly in the draft so far, Zach, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah, Bo needs as much help as he can get. And I wrote during the game on Twitter, like, please get this man an elite weapon. He's throwing a Marvin Mims and Adam Troutman, Michael Burton, little Jordan Humphrey. And when he was healthy, Josh Reynolds. This is an elite A-plus talent for your first-round quarterback. Not to excuse Bo's misfires or whatever, errors in the game on Thursday, but he has no one around him, Chad, except for Cortland Sutton. No one.
I'm going to grab a couple comments here on Instagram. I always forget to pop over and look because their comments and questions are not in the stream we see on StreamYard. I actually have to have another tab open. So I'm going to remember this time and grab a couple here from Broncos Country Daily. Thanks for being with us, my friend, who says, we don't need a 30-year-old back. We need receivers, meaning Kamara. Bo Nix is our QB of the future. Get used to him. He's been a stud. And then last thing I'll read from Broncos Country Daily here is, Bo Nix and Tebow comparisons are terrible. Bo is mobile, but his gameplay is completely better than Tebow's. Tebow in the fourth quarter is how Knicks looks. LOL. Interesting points, my friend. And I'll meet you a good distance to where you're at logically, in that, you know, Tim Tebow, all that painful quarterbacking that we'd see in quarters 1, 2, and 3 and the throwing, and you're like, what the Sam Hill is going on? You know, completes two passes in a road win over the Chiefs, that one. And one of them was like a 60-something yard dagger to Eric Decker over the top, just a moon ball, perfect, and he ran it in. But he, all of a sudden in the fourth quarter when the chips were down, it still was never like pretty, but all of a sudden out would come the miracles, you know, and the passing, he would find ways to complete the passes, and, you know, the running stuff was always there, and he would just find a way, make a way. And we've seen a lot of that same Zach kind of playmaking tenacity from Bo Nix when the chips were down, and specifically, even though it ended up being in defeat, so very un-Tebow-like, but in that Chargers game, that grit and the will, where Bo, you could see in the fourth quarter, was just taking matters into his own hands, and it worked. It was just, unfortunately, too little too late.
Yeah, I mean, I've always want them to get it done and pull out the win in the end, but you see the fight in Bo Nix. He doesn't go down. He doesn't put his tail between his legs and cry. He always plays until the final whistle, and sometimes you're going to come back based on that momentum that you build, and that's what I'm saying. He hasn't been perfect by any means, but there's more good than bad to take out of that, and the Broncos are 4-3 and maybe poised to be 5-3 after Sunday.
I want to grab this from Screen Guy. The VJ defense is night and day since they hired Jim Leonard to coach the defensive backs. Difference night and day. Would you attribute the outkicking coverage, kind of, you know, punching above its weight class results so far from this defense, Zach, that only has one first rounder on it and hasn't had that first rounder for two games? Would you attribute that to Jim Leonard? Because I would say from a passing defense perspective, he deserves a lot of credit there. But I'll also remind everybody that from week 6 on last season, that VJ defense was one of the best in the NFL.
It helps when you have the best cornerback in the NFL too, working on your side. But no doubt Jim Leonard's been an amazing influence. One of the greatest hires I can remember the Broncos making in recent years, getting someone who should have been a head coach as an assistant. I think the bigger impetus for the turnaround, though, is at least this season, has been the front seven. The D-line, the play of the edge rushers, even Cody Barton coming to life, and Sternad before that. When you can get the most out of mediocre players and turn them into good players, that's the mark of good coaching. And I give VJ all his flowers for what he's done.
I'm seeing a lot of conversation in the chat about D-Mac. I think because that's where some of the Tebow stuff is coming from. But listen, I want to be clear on something real quick. And Zach, start, you know, internally he's going, oh, here we go, Jensen and D-Mac thing. But I got to say this, because I love D-Mac. You know, I've always looked up to him and respected what he does. And he's an entertaining, insightful analyst, and I think he does a good job. But one thing we learned, Zach and I, in our foray into radio that was very short-lived for a reason, is that you are pressured by stations and producers and content managers, that's not the right word, but program managers, etc., program directors, to artificially create wedge conversations. So even if I don't believe, for example, Zach, that Tim Tebow, that Bo Nix is Tim Tebow 2.0, it would be my job to assert that on this segment and have you argue against me just for the sake of the argument, not because it's how I think. And then no radio guy is going to go then clarify on Twitter or later in a different segment, by the way, that wasn't really what I think. They just kind of have to roll with it, hoping that the religious listeners that are actually listening every day will forgive them for it, Zach, and that banking on that there's a different audience every time you're on the radio. Like, it's people running their errands, so they got the radio on, or it's I'm driving home from work, so I got the radio on, and the next day I'm listening to, you know, Kiss in the radio. I decided I'm in the music mood. It's not dedicated per se listeners like you guys are that are there with for us for what we say night in, night out. So I don't know what I'm getting at here, Zach, if he really means that, or if it's just, like you said earlier, kind of a wedge device to kind of create conversation.
Well, I know when we did radio, the number one goal we had was, are people going to talk about this after we're done to themselves and to their friends and family? And that's why DMAC was successful in this and what Michaela brought up earlier, because we are talking about the Tebow comparisons. Whether he believes it or not, it's his opinion he's putting out there. And Chad and I on this podcast, we don't necessarily believe that.
The Ronk punctuating a great conversation tonight with some love and a message on Facebook. Great show tonight, Chad and Zach on the Mile High Huddle podcast. Go Bo Broncos. Thank you, Big Dog. Much love and respect. We got a couple messages for you here, guys, and then we're going to dip on out.
Another tremendous episode, as always, of the Mile High Huddle podcast. If you're not doing so, please follow us on Twitter at the MHH Pod. You can follow the main account on Twitter at Mile High Huddle, Chad at Chad N. Jensen, myself at Kelberman NFL, and Scott, our producer, at Scout Kennedy. If you guys want some merch like we're rocking each and every single podcast, check out MHHmerch.com and get you some. If you haven't done so yet, drop us a like at Facebook.com/MileHighHuddlePod. You can find us on Instagram at @mile_high_huddle. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure you're leaving your Football Priest a 5-star review for a chance to win some merch each and every single month. But if anything, y'all, please, 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 very important here, subscribe, like, and share this video and every video you see on the MHH channel. It really helps us grow and reach more Broncos fans just like you.
That's right. A Mile High salute and a special shout out to the great Super Chat superstars and supporters tonight, showing us some love, donating your own hard-earned money to help us keep the lights on. We love you. We appreciate you. Don't ever, hopefully it's on us and it's incumbent upon us to ensure you never feel taken for granted, because you are not, most certainly. A shout out to the Papa Bear, David McElrath, to the newcomer, YouTube user, Ted Wunderlich, Zeus McPeak, The Ronk, Michael Ronquillo, Epic Gamer, The Duchess, Michaela Parker, Phil McLaughlin down in Tucson, James Moss checking in, D-Dub checking in a couple of different times from Paradise, Taylor Christensen, Eric Flynn, I think it's Tariq. Much love and respect, you guys. Thank you so much. Hey, it's kind of weird because we just had a game Thursday, so it's like throwing our schedules off internally. It's like spring forward, fall back type thing. But Zach and I, we're back tomorrow. So looking forward to seeing you guys tomorrow night. And then don't forget also, you've got some Broncos for breakfast on the Bright with Scott Kennedy and Nick Kendall.
That's right. Have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll see you tomorrow to get you ready for Week 8. Broncos Panthers, take care. And as always, go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.